Hallelujah. You can take your seat in the presence of the Lord if you were standing. Hallelujah. We're starting this morning with a good news. We are launching on the 23rd of February, Sunday the 23rd. It's a very important day to mark in your calendar because a new tree will be planted in another area. Yes. Another ark is being built in that area. ABC Google A2, the Freedom Chapel. Hallelujah. The services are already taking place every Sunday morning. You can join us there. It's right by the main road in Google A2, if you know the area. Not far from the main road. I mean, just a few seconds away from the actual big main road. So I want to invite you to join us there every Sunday morning with Shepherd Lawrence, Shepherd Wanjele, Shepherdess Itumeling, and Shepherdess Neo, and a host of guys that are working in that side to plant another, you know, it's a seed, but it's going to grow, and it's going to become a mighty tree. And the Bible says that birds of the air shall come and perch themselves on it. Hallelujah. Our vision is building one church in many locations. And I don't think Google A2 should be, exempt from the vision. So we have gone there. And by the grace of the Lord, we want to reach as many locations as possible. Yes. Hallelujah. So do well to pray for us. Do well to continue supporting the work of God with your tithes and your offerings. It's because of that do you realize that almost all the facilities are present at Google A2 at the moment? The main auditorium is built. The classes for the Sunday schools are built. The toilets are built. The veranda is built. Everything needed is there. He is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I want to encourage you, join in the building. We are builders. And I've told you many times before, and I'm going to say it again, if you build a house for God, God will build a house for you. Get involved in the building of God's house. Don't be so consumed about building your house. I think some of you must go and read Malachi 1 and see how angry, Haggai chapter 1, and see how God was really tackling guys that were busy building houses for themselves while his house was falling apart. It didn't end well for them. He said, you are putting money in your pocket, but your pockets are pocket with holes. That whatever you are accumulating doesn't stay. Why? There is a curse on the fact that the Bible says, cursed be anyone who does the work of God deceitfully. You are in the church, but you are not doing the work of God with all your heart. A curse comes on you. But you are in the house of God, you are doing God's work with all your heart. A blessing comes on you. I'm not saying you are coming to church. I'm saying while you are at church, you are doing something for God with all your heart. A blessing comes on you. May you be blessed in Jesus' name. Let's start this morning. You see, last week we didn't really start our series for the month because we did not finish the sermon I started teaching at the anointing service. So we felt that we needed to go through that entire service. And I really want to beg you, I'm begging you by the mercies of God, go and watch that service. The message is entitled, what is that message again? Tapping into the spirit power. There's a big revelation there. And I was so tempted to continue in that line of thought this month. But I'm beginning to go back to that place where there's so much to preach, you don't even know which one to bring and which one to leave. We thank God for the abundance of revelations. Hallelujah. So this morning, let's just flow with the Lord and let's see how he takes us. I was also very tempted to preach on love. Because every February, I usually teach on love. And we're going to have talks on love this year. I just want to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. Do not just be talking about things because every year we talk about this. You see, you can't box God. It is not every favor that God talks about love. So don't expect me that every February I must bring you a series on love. It's not automatic. Do you understand? It's a blessing when it happens. I think it's a good timing. But it's also too predictable. Do you understand? What if you need a series on love in March or April? So let's flow with the Spirit. The Bible does not say you shall be led by months. You shall be led by the Spirit. This year, or this month rather, I mean, the year's vision, we are still on it. We are just still on it. You know, the theme of the year. Because I realized last year that we caught the theme, but we didn't catch it properly. So halfway through the year, we just started saying things, not understanding what we're talking about. We are not confused this year. We are not confused. We will take our time to understand, because when you understand something, you act better. You do better. Yes. So the year's theme is going deeper, doing more. That's what the year's theme is all about. That you and I should trust God, that there are areas where God can take us deeper this year. This theme is addressing stagnation. It's addressing complacency. It's addressing mental deceptions of thinking you are there. Meanwhile, you are far from there. It's addressing laziness. It's addressing early satisfaction. You get satisfied too quickly. Have you noticed in gospel music, some musician will rise, pam, a big song, and everybody is singing the song. By their next album, they have turned back into the symmetry. And there are other musicians that have been there for years. Every album is a blessing. Why? They keep going deeper. They keep doing more. They keep trying to do more. And you see, it seems like God seems to honor their efforts. So it's okay to have one hit song, but it's better to have many nice songs. They might never be very big hits, but every song you release just seems to be there for a long time. Doing more. It's possible. It's possible. And I'm glad that's the theme God gave us. And you know, I'm talking to you as your senior pastor. I have already seen how God is stretching me to do more. Last 2 weeks ago, I was telling you that Bishop Doug was saying, if you can preach 5 messages in a week, then you are okay. Sometimes I preach about 3 different times in a day. Like I preach to this person in a one-on-one, I preach to that small group, I preach there. By the end of that, I preach about 3 or 4 times. Of late, I go home late. I'm trying to do more. Because actually, nothing has been done. You're just deceived. When laziness comes and sits on you, you think things are done. You are going with the program of the church. Okay, this day we are doing this. Then, no, tomorrow we are not doing anything. And then the other day we are doing this. You are going with the program of the church to build your life. No vision at all of your own things that you can see. No, my day is full because I'm going to see this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to do more. It's possible. May God open your eyes that you can see that delays have come to sit on us If we want to go with the normal flow, we are already behind. You are already delayed. And you are trying to follow the normal regulations. The answer to delays is do more. The answer to the delays in your life right now is that don't try to do ordinarily. Don't try to go with the normal flow. Go faster. Do more. Go deeper. That's the answer to the delays of your life. I'm talking to somebody. How come you are delayed? Maybe in the realm of the spirit, you are delayed for 7 years already. And you are trying to go like normal people. In a year of more. Something is wrong with your steps. Now, this morning, receive grace to catch up in the realm of the spirit. Receive grace to come out of your slumber. There is a spirit of slumber that has sat on people. They know they should do more, but they don't just have the will. Something has sat on their will. Something has sat on their, their minds, such that they are unable to do what they know they should do. There's such a force. It's called slumber. If you wanted a name for it, it's called slumber. You know you should clean. You know you should do this. But you don't just have the strength to do it. Yet you have the strength to watch TV. Yet you have the strength to watch movies. Yet you have the strength to take on social media. That one you have the strength for. But the strength to read a book that can elevate your life. The strength to pray for 1 hour that can push you forward. The strength to do the will of God that can bring a blessing on your life. That one you don't have the strength for. What are you under? You are under bewitchment, and then you are under a spirit of slumber. Now, this morning, by the grace of God, be delivered from every form of slumber in the name of Jesus. May those chains be broken off your life today. Now, some of us, the reason why you are not doing well, because Satan has plucked out your spiritual eyes. Like Samson. You can't see anymore. You can't see what should be done. You can't see what you are behind with. You are unable to see the actual condition you are finding yourself into. You are relaxed when you should be very at ease. Because you can't see. You can't see. And this is the work of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness means the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually hijacked or suspended. Or the Bible says in Joel 2:28, in those days I shall pour out my spirit on every flesh. And it goes on to say that your young men shall see visions. So vision is a it's the work of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit is stirring you up, when the Holy Ghost is present in your life in a certain way, you start seeing things. You start seeing things that should be done. You start seeing things that you should accomplish. When the Holy Ghost's presence is diminished, vision is also tarnished. And you start relaxing, thinking that things are fine. But meanwhile, nothing is fine at all. And by the time you woke up, you are 45. Still in your mother's house. Not married. No children. No authority. No influence. Even the dogs have left. Everything is gone. You are all by yourself. That shall never be your story in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As you are entering into this vision and you are receiving this word, the Bible says he sent his word. And he healed them through his word. And he got them out of their pits. The word of God can heal you. Can heal your mind. Can heal your sight. And the word of God can take you out of a pit. A pit is a trap. May you be set back in motion again. I mean, without motivation, without anybody pushing you, you are self-motivated because the Spirit of God has started stirring you up again from the inside. Like you don't rest, you can't stay at home except it is for a purpose. Somebody is blessed already. Amen. Now, as we are tackling this vision for 2025, going deeper, I just want to ask you a question. Which areas have you started going deeper? Doing more. Are there areas you can say, Pastor, I've started doing a bit more here. I've started doing a bit more here. You see, it's not. There's no specific day where you're going to do more and go deeper. No, it's every day you do a little. Every day you push a little. And at the end of 2025, you'll be able to testify and say, 2025 truly was my year of going deeper and doing more. Because as I close the year, I can see a lot has happened. I don't know why I'm saying all these things. But there are people that are waiting for a special day. I don't know which day that is. They were saying after the fast has ended. They are still continuing the same way. Say, no. After the launch of Guguletu, then I'll start something. Oh, no, after Easter. After Easter, then I'll start. You are just using procrastination, which is one of the things that we are saying that this year, do not involve yourself in procrastination. The Bible says, do not put to tomorrow what you can do today. That's procrastination. Procrastination is that you were supposed to do it today, you have pushed it to tomorrow. Because you are watching a movie and the movie is taking 2 hours and so you want to complete the movie first. But by the grace of God, sometimes I can watch a movie in many days because I watch it late at night when I have already spent my whole day. Do you understand? The time I'm supposed to relax, that's the time I use to really watch. I can watch 30 minutes, another day I watch another 30 minutes, just like that, so that it doesn't steal my life. Can't watch it during the day. I'm supposed to be working during the day. So after I have completed my day, and maybe I'm eating, then I can watch something. Then I can check the news simultaneously. Somebody is blessed already. Now, February 2025, our series is titled, The God of More. The God of More. That is the God that you serve, and that is the God that I serve. The God of More. Not the God of less. Not the God of small. Not the God of few. The God of what? The God of More. That's why this year he's challenging us to do more, because you cannot be with the God of more and you do less. Then you are not with him. You are not with him. Look, President Donald Trump has decided to suspend the U.S. aid. People are already crying. Because they know what it means. It means the U.S. will no more be with us. And when the U.S. is no more with us to aid and help us, a lot of things are going to be withdrawn. So there's no way you can be with the U.S. and you are not being aid. That's how you cannot be with the God of more and it doesn't show. Hebrews 12 verse 22, the Bible says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. So this is where you have now come. You have come to the city of God. And one of the things that you see when you come to the city of God is that it's a city of innumerable. Innumerable means you cannot count. Is a lot. Is more. That's the God you are serving. In Jeremiah 30 verse 19 he says, then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them. They shall not diminish. Understand his mind. Angels are innumerable. And when he comes to your world, he says he multiplies. Like his presence brings, like he multiplies things. And he says they shouldn't diminish.
You must know that if God brings multiplication, then multiplication and subtraction, or things multiplying and things diminishing, has got a lot to do with a spirit. There's a spirit involved in things multiplying, in equally as there's a spirit involved in things diminishing. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Friends diminishing, opportunity diminishing, things diminishing, your life becoming smaller and smaller, you are drying up like a plant in the desert. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. There's a spirit there, and that's not God. God says, when I come to you, and I really come to you, I multiply things. You start seeing more. And when you start seeing less, another God is there. Another God is there. They shall not be few. I mean, they shall not diminish. I will also glorify them. May God glorify you in the name of Jesus. They shall not be small. They shall not diminish. They shall not be small. Say with me, the God of more. That's his signature. When he has passed somewhere, you will see that he is really the one here. Because things are not diminishing. Things are multiplying. Things are becoming more. That is the signature of the living God. He said that you have come to the city not of a dead God. When a dead God, things die. Things diminish. Things disappear. When something is alive, it becomes more. It multiplies. It multiplies. And our God is the living God. And if the living God lives in you, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If the greater one is in you, then definitely we will see it through things coming to life. Multiplication. You are hearing us say, we have planted a new branch. You also go and try to plant a new branch. If God is not with you, if even your mukuku, just a small mukuku, if you will even manage. Sometimes when you are in the middle of a miracle, because you are used to it, you do not even realize that these are the works of God and they are marvelous in our eyes. Many a time the works of God stop becoming marvelous with people because they are so used to them. You are just saying, oh, a new branch has started. How many churches have you been a part of that start branches? In record time. I give God all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Now, in John 15, that was Jeremiah 30, verse 19, by the way. In John 15, verse 8, he says to us something very profound. I'm talking about the God of more. Like, you must know that he is the God of more. Say with me, my God is the God of more. My God is the God of more. Don't bring another thing about him. Innumerable angels, streets of gold. I mean, that is everything that you are fighting here to get a small. You go to heaven, it's a street, it's made of the gold that we are fighting here to just get an ounce of it. You go to heaven, people are walking on it. It's the God of more. Hallelujah. And I pray that we will be visited mightily this year by the God of more. Hallelujah. So in John 15, verse 8, he tells us, by this, my Father is glorified. Now, understand something. Nobody knows the Father better than Jesus. So Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. Jesus came to reveal God to us because we didn't know God. In the Old Testament, God was known as the Most High God. Now, you can't reach him. But Jesus brought God as Emmanuel, the God. God is with us. Not the Most High God only. He is also with us. So Jesus brought God closer. He told Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So now Jesus in John 15 verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified. Now you don't know my Father. You don't know what makes my Father happy. You don't know what makes my Father glad. I am from there. I sleep, I lie on his bosom, So I know my father better than anybody, and I can tell you what makes my father happy. So he's telling us how the father is glorified. He says, my father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And he says, when you bear much fruit, it shows that you are my disciple. So I don't know whose disciple you are, because being a disciple of Jesus is not just a confession that you are making. Ah, me, I am a Christian. I am a disciple of Jesus. It's good to say so, but I think what shows that you are a disciple is what he's saying is that you have to bear much fruit. Not just fruit, much of it. Much fruit. So you can see that God is really against smallness, diminishing, things not being there. He doesn't like that thing. And when you and I are entertaining that thing, I would like to advise you that could it be that another God is at work where you are there? Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why God is always pushing us to do more. Luke 5, verse 4 to 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. He's always pushing you to go deeper and to do more. And even this morning, I hear the Lord speaking to somebody, and I hear the Holy Spirit say to somebody, launch out into the deep. You are too much by the seashore. You are not deep enough. Where I stay in my house, I've got a borehole. I didn't know there was water in my yard until I called people to come and dig deep. But today I'm using water for free. That free water was always there, but I was always buying water. Sometimes we sleep, I will use this, you know, like when there's no water, we all use a small portion. Yet the whole house was built on top of, there's water, gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water underneath the surface. Until I decided, you know what? I think I'm tired of buying water. Let me check if I don't have water here. I mean, I went to somebody's yard. In the very yard where I stay, you will be surprised. In the yard where we say there's water. But people are dying of thirst. Why? They don't want to pay that little price of digging. To the glory of God, when the guys came and they dug the water, water gushed out. Today, by the grace of God, I don't think about water. Even when I hear people say, oh, there's no, that's a problem that problem doesn't exist. Eternal supply till Jesus comes, it will always be there. I went deep and I found the water. Now, you too, you can decide to go just a little bit deep. Don't get stuck where you are. You are thinking there's nothing there. But I can tell you it's because you are shallow. Let's go a bit deep. Go a bit deep. Many things are hidden. You have to understand that principle. Your country doesn't tell you what they are doing. They hide it from you. You have to be deep to know what they are doing. Everything that is really of value is hidden. Nobody goes around with his bank account telling everybody, here's how much money I have in my bank. You must be very, very out of your mind to do stuff like that. People, anything precious is hidden. People hide their personal items. People hide their passwords. People hide their banking details, their PIN. They complicate it. You never find that. Even pictures, people hide their pictures. So how do you expect to get things just like that? It's a principle. Precious things are hidden. So you got to dig deep to find them. You got to do a bit more to access them. So this is bad news for a lazy person. In Psalm 92 verse 14, I'm just laying a foundation. He says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. There's never a time where you can say, I think I've done enough. No, even in old age, you can still do more. Like the mind of God is, he's always pushing you, do a little bit more. Don't say I'm old. No, just even in an old age, you can still bear fruit. Even when you are 50-something, you can still do something. Even when you are 70-something. I mean, Abraham was 75, and God was just starting with him. 75 years old. Even in old age. So he's trying to say, really, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. You are not too young. You are not too old. You just need to understand that's like to get anything done, hey, you got to go a bit deeper. And you got to do a bit more. Praise the Lord. In Revelation 2 verse 19, which is our verse that we've been using, I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, and your perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Thank God you did something at the beginning. But don't stop because you did something last year. Don't stop because you did something 5 years ago. Don't now use that to say, oh, now I've already done my part. No, he says, you know, he's pushing you to say, now do more than you did at first. Like if you did something yesterday, now do a bit more than what you did yesterday. Like that's the mind of God. Don't say you are old. No, even an old age, you can still do something. Okay, don't say we worked all night, we didn't catch it. He says, no, even though you worked all night, you caught nothing, still go ahead and launch into the deep and you're going to catch something. So his mind is that, never get settled. Don't get settled. That's why God has brought you here this morning. He's trying to change your mind. He's trying to change your mind about him. He's trying to change your mind about how you are doing things. But let's first talk to you about how he thinks first. Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Woo. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So you see, God is trying to say to you, listen, many a times, not all the time, but many a times, what you are thinking is not what he's thinking. That's what he's trying to tell you. Could it be that when you look at a situation for you, this is done. I mean, there's nothing. Meanwhile, he's saying that you can still do more. I mean, he came to Peter. Peter is feeling, I worked all night. I think I caught nothing, so I need to go and rest. And it will make perfect sense. But Jesus is thinking differently. Jesus is thinking, even though you worked all night and you caught nothing, don't go and rest. Go again. And then go back in, launch into the deep now. That even go deeper. You're going to catch. You tried to get married, it didn't work. You try again, it didn't work. And now you are in a stage where you feel, you know what? I think, let me concentrate on other things. You know, why didn't Jesus say to Peter, okay, I know, I realize you worked all night and you caught nothing. Just put the boat aside and let's go and have a drink first. Then we'll see what to do. Jesus said, no, stick with this assignment until you settle it. Stick with this thing until you solve it. Launch into the deep and do a bit more and settle this matter, then move to another matter. You put a few applications, nobody has called you back. Now you are under a spirit of discouragement. Now you are feeling that, no, you don't want to do anything anymore. And that is what you say. You must listen to the first message I preach. 9 reasons why people settle for less. I keep repeating myself on these things. Go and listen to that message. You might find out that few of those reasons are why you are where you are. It's on YouTube. It's on Castbox. I don't think you are one of those who will allow discouragement to steal away their prize. Discouragement will not stop you. by the grace of God, as the word is coming back, may you be refueled in your spirit. Maybe you were hurt. Maybe you were discouraged. Maybe you were even offended. Or maybe you were rejected. Don't let that be the reason why you are dropping your ball. Rise up like Peter with the word of God and say, it's my year of going deeper and of doing more. Maybe there's something I didn't go deeper the first time. Maybe I didn't do more the first time. Now that Jesus is saying to me, take your net back in there and go and do more, I'm going to do that. And to the glory of God, Peter returned with a cash. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy, this is the NLT version, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But, let God transform you. Oh, yes. Let God do what? Transform you. Transform means give another form. To trans. Trans, that's where you have transportation. You know, trans means you're changing. To shifting. To trans. Even people go into a trance. They go from one realm to another realm. That's why the word always had the idea of mobility. So, transform means to change the form. You have trance and form. Another form. Conform means keep the same form. Transform means get another form. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Wow. So you see, that is what we are here to do this morning. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is the man. So if God can change the way you think, God will get a new person, a transformed person. If I stay in the same thinking, I will remain the same person and I keep producing the same results. Nothing much will change. I can blame the ancestors, I can blame the government, but it will amount to nothing. If I can just submit my mind to God this morning, say, Lord Jesus, I bring my mind to you this morning. Help, I gave you permission to work on my mind. And by working on your mind, you will become a different person. In the name of Jesus. So quickly, today's message is titled, Breaking Free from the Smallness Mindset. Breaking free from the smallness mindset. Smallness. 2 Kings 4 verse 3. Elisha said, go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars, but don't ask just a few. Go ask for jazz. I'm about to do a miracle for you. But don't go there with a smallness mindset. Because that's going to limit the miracle. I came with the anointing. I came with the power of God. And I'm here to change your situation. And I'm giving you an instruction. Go and borrow some empty jars from people. But don't go and borrow two. And I'm so glad Elisha gave that instruction. Because later, Elisha gave another instruction to a king, asked the king to strike the ground, but he did not tell the king, don't strike only a few times. And that's exactly what the king did. The king struck three times. The king struck three times and he stopped. So you see that we seem to be conditioned to little, few, small. Like naturally, that's where we go. Naturally, we don't expect much. Naturally, we don't go for more. And your God is the God of more, yet it seems like your mind and my mind is the mind of small. Now, I love the word of God. The word of God is so, I don't know what to say to you. It's just so marvelous. It's like I just read about Elisha. Elisha caught a double anointing from Elijah. The miracle Elisha was doing for this woman, who was also a widow, It was a replica of a miracle Elijah, his leader, had done earlier. Similar. Same type of situation. So I want to quickly take you to another, the one of Elijah. Not Elisha. Elisha, he just told the lady, don't borrow a few. Borrow a lot more. But let's look at Elijah quickly with the widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17 from verse 9. Are you still blessed? Say with me, I reject the smallest mentality. Then the word of the Lord came to him, meaning Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Say amen. Amen. Elijah was in another location, but the brook had run dry. And God said to Elijah, no, don't worry. Just now go to Zarephath. There's a widow there. I have asked her to provide for you. Now, you will think that it means that God went and spoke to the widow. Yeah, I mean, the way God is saying it here is that there's a widow that I have commanded her. Like he's speaking in the past tense as if he has already told the widow that Elijah is coming, provide for him. So meaning she's ready, everything is in place. I mean, that's how you will think. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Hallelujah. And as she was going to get it, he called her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she's going to get him some water. I think the water was not an issue. So when he asked for the water, I said, okay, it's just water. Let me go bring him water. As she is going to get the water, he now adds another thing. He said, bring bread as well. I think that's when she stopped. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Hey! You see, when God has truly spoken to you, relax. God says to you, this is your wife. You will assume that he also told the person. I mean, that most of my life, the way this thing was going was that, no, they said, you know, if God told you something for me, God must also have told me a thing. And there's a dimension for that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we have the story of Ananias. We have the story of Peter the Apostle and then Cornelius, where God spoke to Cornelius and also spoke to Peter. You have those similarities. But you also do see that God doesn't only work that way. Here you have God telling Elijah that, look, I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Meanwhile, the way I see it, listen, this widow has never had. In fact, the widow has no bread. There's no bread. There's nothing. But God is saying he commanded the widow to provide for him. I feel a revelation entering my spirit. Many a times, God will send somebody to you with a need that you cannot, at the moment he is arriving, you don't have the need, you don't have what it takes to meet the need. Meanwhile, God has sent the person not just for you to meet their need, but actually God has sent the person to meet your need. when you read this story at the end, you will realize that actually, God sent Elijah to provide for the widow, not the other way around. I do not have bread. She has started already talking. I don't have bread. And she's not going to stop there. Listen to her very, very well. She has a wrong speech. I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. Hey, if God has sent you somewhere, God told you that this person is going to give you money, then you arrive, and this is the type of speech that the person that is supposed to provide for you, this is the speech that is coming out of the person. I mean, what will you think to yourself? You say, I think I miss God 100% here. Then you ask yourself, are there other widows in this? Are there more widows in this area? Because I can clearly see, just like Samuel, do you have other sons? Because I can see that here it's not working. Are there more widows? Now let's recap quickly this woman's speech, because it is very, very, like there's something to see in her speech when you talk about a smallness mentality. Number one, no bread. Number two, a handful of flour. Number three, little oil. Number four, couple of sticks. Number five, myself and my son. Number six, eat and die. What kind of, you see, this is a mindset. This is the mindset that the man of God is finding, the person that can actually provide for him, the person that God sees as a provider. But that is the mindset that the provider is having. I cannot do more. I don't have anything. No bread, handful of flour, little oil, couple of sticks, myself, eat and die. And many a time this is the mindset that we have. It's a mindset of no money, or a handful of notes, little coins, couple of notes. Now, you see, I would like you to take anything that you are trusting God for now and then run it through this list. You'll be surprised that it seems like that is how we are. Couple of this, little of this, handful of this, and myself. You see, when you are in the smallness mindset, it's a lack mindset. You only think about yourself. You cannot think beyond yourself. And unknown to this woman, God was seeing her as a provider to a prophet. God saw that this woman can take care of my prophet, but the woman thought only of herself and her son, and the next thing was to die. I mean, you can even think about it again. We eat to live. This woman was eating to die. So there was no hope. No hope. I don't know, maybe that is where you are this morning. Just like this woman. You don't see hope around you. There's little of this. There's a couple of that. There's a handful of this. and there's no of this, and you are just feeling, I think this is going to end somewhere here. No. It doesn't have to end there. I say it doesn't have to end there. Because the Bible says, Elijah, after she spoke all her things, I love the man of God, Elijah. And wavering, he knew God spoke to him. And I pray that you and I will become like Elijah. When God has spoken to you, and God told you, go and open a cell there. And when you arrive there, there's no venue. There are little members. There are just a couple of ABC members. There are just, and then you look around you, and there's no anointing. There's no this. And you know, like Elijah, he didn't bother himself about everything she was talking about. What a faith. Stubborn faith. God spoke to me. You are my wife. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it. Say, you know, I think I had the faith of Elijah when I was marrying my wife. I mean, the woman used to tell me reasons. She had like about 7 reasons why she cannot be my wife. She will finish talking. I'll just say, you know what? After, based on what me I'm feeling here, you are my wife. She will be just puzzled. What is wrong with this guy? Are you with me? Oh, yeah. He said to her, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. And you are learning there that fear was behind everything that was happening to this woman. Her life was controlled by fear. She was under the demon spirit of fear. And the demon spirit of fear is the spirit of diminishing. It's the spirit of reduction. It's the spirit of death. Wherever the spirit of fear is in operation, it ends with death. First of all, things are few. Just a couple. Just a little. And some things don't exist. Why? Because it takes courage to go for the kill. It takes a lot of courage to keep going. In the story of the parable of the talent, the person that could not multiply anything, he himself confessed, I was afraid. I was afraid. So fear, clearly we can see here that wherever fear is, many things will not be. Many things will not be. The cell will not grow when the cell leader is afraid. The family will not move forward when the leader of the family is afraid. The church or the branch cannot develop when the shepherd is afraid. When you submit, when you subject yourself to the spirit of fear, you will be talking like this woman, I don't have bread. You will say, I don't have members. Then you will continue and then you will say, I only have a handful of small children. And I only have a little oil, a little anointing. My anointing is not much. I'm not like Pastor Pascal. I'm not like Shepherd So and So. I only have a little anointing. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks. You're doing gathering, but you're not doing gathering with the mentality, I'm gathering multitude. I'm gathering a couple, just a few couple, just a little. Thank God you are doing gathering, but what is the mentality you are doing the gathering with? Do you have a mind to say, I'm going to bring a lot of people to the house of God? For God's sake, sticks are for free. Sticks are for free. You don't even buy them, and then the woman is only gathering a couple of sticks. So you see, it's a mindset. You are dealing with a mentality. Even things that are free, you still can't get. You just go for little, small. And that mindset is powered by the spirit of fear. Watch around you, people that don't achieve much, people that are always coming up with excuses, people that are always procrastinating, people that are always talking a lot and doing less, these people are under the spirit of fear. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. May you be delivered. David speaking says, God has delivered me from all my fears. I believe God that in 2025, all your fears will be drowned in the sea of the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Then he says to her, do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But make a small cake from it first and bring it to me. My God. Like, I believe that you are the provider God says you are. With the little you have, I will eat something from there. And I pray that all my shepherds, all the cell leaders, all the pastors of this ministry will catch the revelation that even when it didn't look like there was a big thing there, the little hope you saw, the little thing, the few things that were there, you see, a man of faith can do a lot with little, and a man of fear can do nothing with more. I think I've just released a bomb in the realm of the spirit. A man of faith can do a lot with little. A man of fear will do nothing with much. Elijah said, no, bring the little sticks. Bring the little oil. Bring the handful of flour. Just bring it. But when you bring it, do something. Forget about yourself. Put God first. Do it first for me. I mean, Elijah representing God. He said to him, bring God in your little. Bring God in your little. Let God come there. You are going to die if you did it for yourself. But now, if you say, I have little, let me do it for God. Ah, you shall die no more. You shall die no more. You shall die no more. He said, do first for me. Forget about yourself. And you see, you cannot do more this year if you are thinking about yourself. It doesn't take much to satisfy one person. Except greedy people. I mean, under normal circumstances, how many loaves of bread can you eat? So if you are only providing loaves of bread for yourself, it's clear that after you buy one loaf, you are fine. How many beds can you sleep on? One per time. So if you are only providing a bed for yourself, when you buy one bed, you'll be okay. The mindset of more, doing more, we are not talking about doing more for you. If you are doing for you, you will not even think of doing more for anything because it doesn't take much for you as an individual to be okay. Yeah. I know families in South Africa, they have 7 or 8 in the same house and they are living in a budget of 2,500, sometimes 2,000. But there's another person, 2,000 is not even pocket money. It's not enough. Doesn't take much to satisfy one person. So he said, bring it, but bring first for me. Afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. Thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now the word arrives. The bin of flour shall not be used up. Nor shall the jar of oil run dry. Until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. But it's not like when Elijah finished speaking, she really saw that the flour was now full in the that was it was still the same. So you see, Elijah managed to change something in her. Elijah, through the word, he moved her from fear to faith. In other words, faith comes by hearing the word. So as this woman listened to the man of God, she believed the man of God. So she broke the spirit of fear and she entered the dimension of faith. She entered a new dimension in the same day. She moved from fear to faith and truly she believed because she acted upon. The Bible says faith without action is dead. She went ahead and acted on it. May God give you the faith of this woman. Her son is still there hungry. She doesn't, I mean, what if this is a fake prophet? But she believed it. She believed it. She believed it. And she and he and her household ate for many days. Hallelujah. Now, since the story started, this is the first time you are seeing a word many. Everything we started from the beginning, small, handful, little, no. For the first time, after the woman kicked into faith, you are seeing many. And I believe this is going to be your story. In the name of Jesus. Quickly this morning as I close, 8 steps to breaking free from small mentality, smallness mentality. Isaiah 54 verse 2 to 3. I'm reading from the Message version because it's not like I'm going to take you through a whole day of 8 steps. The 8 steps are there. In the Message version, they are explained clearly. You do this, you are entering another dimension. He says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Clear a lot of grounds for your tents. This is a person that is going to break the smallness, the mentality of smallness. I think what I should call it, breaking free from the mentality of smallness. Because if I say the smallness mentality, it's like become an adjective. So breaking free from the mentality or the mindset of smallness. How do you break free from it? He says, clear lots of ground for your tents. The tents haven't arrived, but you must don't clear a small place. Go in the bush and clear lots of ground. Number two, make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty rope. Drive your tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Hey! You're going to take over whole nations. Ooh. My God. So, as I close, quickly, number one, clear lots of ground. What is he saying? Don't be led by fear. Be led by faith. I don't see what I'm going to do here, but I'm preparing with a mind of many. Clear lots of ground. Clear lots of ground. Be led by faith. When you are putting your chairs for yourself, put many chairs. Don't put 3 chairs because, no, you are not clearing lots of ground. Number two, make your tents large. Stop planning small. When you make your tents small, it means that you are not expecting that a lot of people are going to come. He said, make your tents large. It's another mind. Clear lots of ground. And when you are planting the tent, don't make the tent small. Make them big. It's another mind. Number three, spread out. He says spread out. What is he saying? Don't allow everybody to stay in the same place. You can never do more if we are all in the same place. When we spread out, we will go. We all go to different places. When you are hearing that, when we started Allah Baba Church, we were all in the same building. All my shepherds, everybody were meeting one service, all of us in the same place. The little progress we are seeing today is because we apply spread out. We've spread out again. We're not in Guguletu. I mean, to do that, I have had to remove people from the main branch to send there. I'm creating room for more. You want to keep everybody there to continue being deceived? You are deceiving yourself. Spread out. Then he says, think big. What does this one mean? See things beyond what they are right now.
Think big means don't see it and think this is how it's always going to be. See things beyond what they are right now. Think big. See a choir on your stage. Look, don't ask why you always... Me, I'm a pastor. Do you understand? So my examples are into the ministry. Don't start with me. Why are you always talking about selling that, this and this? This is what I do. This is my work. Yeah, I'm not an economist. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to offend anyone, any of you. But my examples are connected to what I do. So I'm talking to people who are doing also... I mean, I can give other examples, but I'm just telling you that, listen, if you are into the ministry, think big about your choir. Think big about your youth. Think big about that. See beyond what is there right now. Then number five, he says, use plenty ropes. As you are pitching your tent, use a lot of ropes to make sure that they are solidified. What does he say? Equip yourself through different materials. Don't only use one rope. You see, if the wind comes now, that one rope might not be able to sustain your work. Get different ropes in place to hold your tent strongly. So get wisdom from different sources. But there are all legal and recommended sources, I beg. Don't now just throw yourself on YouTube and start killing yourself. It's called cross-seeding. You are destroying yourself. We have a way of doing things here. He's saying, get help from different avenues. A book, a message, a sermon. There are different ways. Six, drive your peg deep. You know what is a peg? That iron thing that you have to hit on the floor, and that's the thing where you put the rope of the tent. He's talking about you are building a tent. Like you are, that's what I'm saying. I'm using that like you are building a church. Wow. Drive your pegs deep. What is he saying? Don't be a shallow person. Don't be a shallow person. What is a shallow person? He said, you are not serious. Have you heard somebody say, you are not serious, Wena? But your talks are always cheap. Everything you do is always shallow. So people start saying, Wena, you are not serious. If people have ever told you, Wena, you are not serious, they will say, you are not deep. And a person that is not deep does not command respect. They do not command attention. People don't listen to you because when you are not serious. When you are not serious. I see you driving your peg deep, 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 deep. I mean, by the time you are done talking, people must have headaches. Well, not bad headache, good headache. Like, I mean, wow, what is this? Where is this man coming from? Be deep. Number seven, make sure you have lots of elbow rooms. I was asking, what is an elbow room? You know, elbows, something that is like this. So it comes and then it goes. Comes and then it goes. Elbow. A normal room is just straight like this. But elbow room, so like you have, and then you create, there's always something extra. There's always something extra. Talks of something extra. What is he saying? To do more, go the extra mile. Always go the extra mile. Extra mile. It will always require extra mile to achieve greatness. You do normally, you will never do great. You'll never, the great achievers go the extra mile. The extraordinary will require the extra mile. And then lastly, take over whole nations. What is he saying? Believe God for multitudes. Believe God for a lot of people. Sometimes I'm talking to the shepherd and the pastors. Enter your church empty. There's nobody, just you and the chairs. Start visualizing people sitting on every chair. Because he's saying you will take over whole nations. Enter your church, just you and the chairs, and preach to your chairs. That every one of you will be occupied. Every one of you. I will be talking to 100 and 200 and 300 and 500 and 1,000 and 2,000 and you must allow your mind to be changed today. These are your 8 steps. May God bless you. Stand on your feet, please. Let's give God a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's begin to pray. Father, we thank you right now for your word. Thank you for blessing us with your word today. Thank you for the revelation that has come through your word. We are ready, Lord. We are ready to do more this year. We are ready to go deeper. We are ready, Lord. We are ready. We want to do it. And I believe that you are helping us, Father, by your Spirit. You are shifting our thoughts. You are shifting our minds. You are asking us to go the extra mile, Lord. Help us, but to take our time with these 8 principles. To take them and to walk with them one by one. I believe that you shall see your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Quickly this morning, if you are not born again, before I go, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. At the count of 3, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to pray for you. 1, 2, 3, your hand up. God bless you. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the 3rd day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you've prayed that prayer, congratulations. The Son of God has entered your heart. Now, do something. Join a Bible-believing church. We are called Alive Bible Church. You can join us. And any other church that preaches the word of God in truth so that you can grow. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that by it ye might grow. If you are not in a place where the word is preached, you will not grow spiritually. So it's my recommendation to you. Get in a Bible-believing church so that you can grow in the Word. Amen? God bless you. We're going to share the grace of the Lord this morning. Now, don't miss next week. We are talking about the God of more. Our minds are being sharpened. God, for us to do more this year, we need to start thinking that way. We need to start thinking that it is possible to have more and to start finding the principle that govern more in the Bible. There are plenty of them. If you read your Bible, you will see that it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. 2025. My year of going deeper and doing more. No excuses, no procrastinating, less talking, more action. The change begins right now. Put your hands together for Jesus. We see you next week. God bless you. Thank you so much.